Hi, I'm Spiro, back this week with another edition of NewsBuds Roundtable. Today we're going to be taking a look at something that's been in the news quite a bit lately, and that is fake news. Specifically, we're going to take a look at a NewsBud exclusive article written by Kurt Nimmo titled Proper Not, Evidence of a CIA Psychological Operation. On November 24th, the Washington Post published a story citing the anonymous group Proper Not. The story accused the Russians of building a large propaganda operation that worked to defeat Hillary Clinton and elect the insurgent candidate Donald Trump. It claimed that a large number of alternative news websites are acting as Russian agents, dupes, and useful idiots. Now, this article, it's a great article. It takes a look at modern-day propaganda warfare carried out by governments and intelligence agencies, along with censorship. This article also takes a closer look at some of ProperNot's affiliations on their website under related projects. Now let's bring in our panel. As always, I'm joined by NewsBud founder and editor-in-chief, Sibelle Edmonds. And our two special guests this week are Kurt Nimmo, senior producer at NewsBud and editor for Another Day in the Empire, and James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, who is officially on the Russia propaganda fake news list. Okay, now there's a lot of cover on this topic, and we've seen the mainstream media promoting this, we've seen politicians pushing this narrative, and we've seen the alternative media firing back. Now let's just start with the sources of this information. I want to hear from Sibelle on the Washington Post, but first I'd like to find out what Nimmo found out in his article about the anonymous site Proper Not. Kurt?
Well, it really was relatively easy to find this stuff out. You just go to their webpage under the they have what they call related projects, and there's links there. And two of those links are, one's a polygraph fact check, it's called. And it is connected to the CIA through Voice of America. As you know, Voice of America was a CIA propaganda operation in Europe, along with Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty. So they're linked to them right there on their webpage. And the second one is an organization called PolitiFact. And they're also related to, actually, they're produced by Tampa Bay Times and the Poynter Institute, and they're both donors to the Clinton Foundation. So you can see how they're tied in. Now, it's interesting that they put these guys on their webpage. They made it relatively easy for anybody who wants to find out about this stuff to follow these links, do a little research, and find out that they're related to the CIA. So that's how I found out that, or how I came to the conclusion this was a psychological operation, was through that, through those links.
Well, as many of you may be aware, that Proper Not is the source for this list of Russian propagandists and fake news sites. And Corbett, you have the honor, or I should say, of being on that list. What's your take of being pointed out and being placed on this list?
Well, I did do a video about this, so people can check for that for my initial reaction to this. But I actually want to push back a little bit against the conclusions of the article that you wrote there, Kurt, because the related websites on that website, the propaganda website, show a number of links to a number of different organizations. And we know for a fact that Elliot Higgins of Bellingcat, who is no friend of us and would probably dismiss us as Russian propaganda or useful idiots, he still went on record to say on Twitter, he said, "Just want to note, I hadn't heard of Proper Not before the Washington Post piece and never gave permission to them to call Bellingcat allies." So, and I believe there was another one of those related websites that specifically denied ever hearing of this website before. So just because it's listed as a related website, I don't think it necessarily has any relation to whoever is behind this website. And I think the next thing we need to do is contact all of those organizations on that related website list and see if they will avow or disavow having any knowledge of this organization. So I actually tend to think of this Proper Not organization. Honestly, I think it's it looks pretty ramshackle. It looks pretty amateur in every sense, including if you look at their Twitter feed, it's full of just, I mean, ridiculous adolescent kind of nonsense, but mocking websites and, oh, the poor butthurt Russian lovers and things like this. So it really does seem like an amateur operation. And there are other tells. For example, on November 17th, they tweeted Oh, forgive my Ukrainian, Heroyum Slava, which apparently means glory to the heroes. It's in Cyrillic and everything. I mean, clearly there seems to be Ukrainian ties to this organization. I think the key point of it is that no one, including myself, would have even heard of this website if it wasn't for the Washington Post piece. And the interesting part of that is that although there have been some reporters going on Twitter, New York Times reporters and others saying, why isn't this the story of the year and things like that. I did note that on Twitter, there was a BuzzFeed editor that said this story has been shopped around to a number of different outlets and we all passed on it. So make of that what you will. It seems like Washington Post was the only ones that were willing to pick up this toxic piece of sludge. And there has been a lot of exposés by other organizations, Rolling Stone and The New Yorker and other, again, pretty mainstream outlets that have come out saying this is a ridiculous piece of nonsense. So, again, I think it's interesting that this is really the Washington Post pushing this organization that may be a psychological operation. I'm not dismissing the possibility. I just don't think we have any real evidence of that at this point. I think it may equally well just be a bunch of Ukrainians who are trying to, you know, create this website, shop it around, and the Washington Post picked it up. And I think that's interesting because, of course, the Washington Post is now Jeff Bezos' vehicle. And Bezos, of course, of Amazon fame, and Amazon being deeply tied into the CIA, including with a $600 million contract with the CIA that they have. I'll put a link in the show notes for this video if people want to check in about that. That was revealed a couple of years ago. So Bezos clearly tied in with the U.S. deep state, and I think the Washington Post is increasingly reflecting that. Whatever its past associations, at this point, I think it's becoming more and more of a kind of like a BuzzFeed clickbait site that's publishing anything and everything, but using the imprimatur of the Washington Post to give some sort of authority to the things that they put out. So I think that connection for me is at this point more interesting than what we can or cannot tell from the Proper Not website. But having said that, I think the overall point of this is no doubt true, that there is a psychological operation underway to paint all dissent as Russian propaganda. And that is worrying on a number of different levels, I think quite evidently, because we all know what that means for anyone who is not within the exact narrow spectrum of allowable opinion that goes from whatever Clinton to Romney or whatever that is going to be painted as Russian propaganda. And I mean, there's so many things that are worrying about that. Not only the obvious implications for free speech, but also as Sibel was pointing out recently, this lumps in a lot of different websites. These are all alternative media, and all of them are equally Russian propaganda or whatever, and they will all equally be treated the same, no matter their differences. And I think it's exceptionally important for us to understand that it's not that there is a class, the alternative media and the establishment media. There are independent people and organizations and websites within there. And that's the point, independent. I think that's the most important point, because just because I'm on this list with whoever else is on that list doesn't mean that I have any relation to whoever's on that list, or that I agree with everyone who's on that list, or there's anything identifiable that you can say that we have in common other than we're on this list. And I think we have to understand and fight for our independence in all of this, because once they start creating lists, big bags that they can put everyone into, it's much easier to censor than if they have to point out the case for each individual website individually as they come to censor us.
Now, Sibel, you've had some interesting interactions with the Washington Post. I want to get your take on that operation.
Well, as James pointed out, it was not the content, because I really thought it was some kind of a satire, you know, it was a satirical piece. But then I saw that it was not in their satire section. So the most important thing here is the fact that Washington Post is the one, as a major mainstream media outlet, printed this out. And this is the same Washington Post that, when legitimate government whistleblowers with 2-3 witnesses with documents, okay, goes to them, they don't print, okay? They don't print. Whether it's the FBI-related story that is completely backed by other witnesses, by documents, or it's the CIA-related stories, they don't print. Plus, Washington Post has had a very long track record, a long, even long, long before Bezos, of one of the major, major outlet and the channel used during the Operation Mockingbird. And this continued throughout the 80s. And if you look at it, I forgot the name of this, the one of the top editors there. Like with Blackwater, his son was the attorney who was representing Blackwater when Washington Post was writing puff pieces on Blackwater, when Blackwater became topical. In fact, currently, I have a team at NewsBud, and we are looking at this investigative story, and we have been working on it for the past few weeks. But we went back to the 1980s on one of these case-related cases, has to do with Iran-Contra, and I pulled out this article written by the formerly Washington Post famous guy who later was handed a bunch of awards, Ted Gupp. And when he wrote this article on Iran-Contra and this particular airline, for example, they omitted a lot of really important names and information that was available in 1987 to them, okay? And this guy was the author of it, this guy who is posing as a journalist. And what happened was it was a completely sanitized article, and I checked and I saw what was available on Iran-Contra at a time in terms of documented facts and really, really important names. You look at this long article, and every single one of those pertinent pieces were omitted, sanitized. So how do they do it? Well, with Ted Gupp, I think is a very good example. When you start following his career, when he served like that, the CIA, the establishment, censuring, omitting, that's when you get to be awarded with all these prizes. You become a Pulitzer Prize winner, you know, like Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize. No, and then he was promoted. He got a better position with New York Times. Then he was given this scholarship or the fellowship position with one of the universities in New England. And so they pay you off. So if you take that and you contrast that with, let's say, Gary Webb, okay? Here is the guy who wrote a real investigative piece with Iran-Contra ties. You see what happens to those reporters, right? I mean, he was expelled from all the outlets. He had no job, and they shunned him. They attacked him. So that's one way to measure a publication, and that is, or the so-called journalists or editors with these publications, the ones that they get to have the awards and go up and constantly brought on CNN to make comments, they are the ones you got to put a big X over them, because it's a give and take business when it comes to those so-called journalists and the establishment CIA operation, especially when they are writing on these major issues, whether it's intelligence-related exposés or international, let's say if it has to do with Iraq WMD, or if it has to do with some questionable gas poisoning in Syria, whether it was Assad that has done it or not. These are the stories. When you look at those journalists who are placed to write these, that's when you say, let's put a big X on this publications and these journalists. But one of the things that really got my attention here in Kurt's article was the mentioning of PolitiFact. And I would like for Kurt to give us a little bit more background on PolitiFact and who is the major funder of PolitiFact, and see how that ties, because I believe that ties a lot of things, and it clarifies a lot of things in terms of these psychological operations that they are conducting. And I have to emphasize this. It was a good point, James. I agree with you. I think this was a little warm-up exercise. Let's put and see what happens. And then, of course, we have the Senate bill that passed. And even before this Senate bill, it is not a far-fetched idea, because nowadays you don't have to financially support terrorists. You can provide them other kind of, you can provide PR support. Let's say if we say, oh, this was not ISIS that did this, but that, let's say it was the CIA operation, you would be called a PR arm of ISIS. ISIS is a terrorist organization. Therefore, whether it's Corbett Report or it's Newsbud or XYZ news organization can be absolutely taken to court. They didn't even need to pass new bills because they can do it. And this is a warm up because it's not going to happen, bam, all at once. You know, suddenly they're going to go and round up news organizations saying that you are Russian agents. We are going to see these kinds of action taken slowly, and then it will escalate. Very similar to state secrets privilege being used against whistleblowers and getting rid of the cases in court. They first started with one case here, and then they made sure the media didn't give enough coverage, then two, three, and then suddenly we saw this flood of using this particular executive order, which is not a law, state secrets privilege, but it's being accepted as an absolute in the courts, federal courts, and by Congress. Same thing here. You don't even have to have a specific bill that spells it out in detail. Currently, just under Patriot Act, we can easily be accused of providing, aiding and abetting the terror organizations or some kind of terror operations. And it's one of those Kafkaesque situations that when you go to court, you can't even defend yourself. How can you prove that you were not promoting ISIS or reflecting them in a positive light? Think about it. You have an attorney, you go to court and you're going to defend against this claim, allegation that is being brought in court saying, by doing that, Corbett, or doing that Newsbud, you actually aided ISIS. There is nothing you can do to defend yourself. It's that kind of Kafkaesque situation we are under. And with that, I want to, again, go back to Kurt on PolitiFact and Pierre Omidyar, eBay and Intercept owner Pierre Omidyar, and tell us a little bit about what you wrote in this article and why you included that, because that's very interesting, Kurt.
Well, because he's associated with PolitiFact and along with Tampa Bay Times or whatever it is. So, I mean, and he's eBay founder. And as you noted, there's another aspect about him as well. He also owns a propaganda radio station in Ukraine. So he's also involved with that aspect of spreading propaganda in Europe, along with NATO and the Western press. So beyond that, I really don't know a whole lot about him, you know.
Well, the reason I'm bringing this up, James and I have covered this whole issue of when at the time it came out initially, then we said, okay, you know, we did our part. We put out our take and our analysis with Edward Snowden and the release of those documents or not releasing those documents. And the whole concept behind this organization knew they are posing as alternative, believe me or not. In fact, I'm surprised they were not on this list. That would have gained them a little bit more legitimacy, you know, when they want to do the limited hangout operation. What you do is you actually put in a few news organizations that actually is on the other side to give people the feel that they are alternative. But Pierre Omidyar, this billionaire, he started Intercept posing as an alternative publication and hired journalists who claim to be alternative journalists, such as Glenn Greenwald. And it's even more interesting than that for me, especially as a former whistleblower, because what happened here was Glenn Greenwald and this producer woman, Laura Poirot, they were in possession of 500,000 plus documents, all Edward Snowden documents, okay? We established, and back then we were not news, but we were Boiling Frogs Post, that some of this information contained in Edward Snowden's documents actually implicated Pierre Omidyar and his organization PayPal, his other organization, because Pierre Omidyar has been working with the CIA, with the U.S. government, okay? In fact, Pierre Omidyar's PayPal was the organization that blocked WikiLeaks funding, and they said, we're not going to transfer these funds, okay? So he's a billionaire known as a as an enemy of whistleblowers, and he has known a joint partnership with the U.S. government intelligence agencies, as such as the CIA, Edward Snowden's, and in fact, Glenn Greenwald, while he was calling me names, he actually confirmed it, that yes, there were some documents that pertain to PayPal and Pierre Omidyar. Well, Pierre Omidyar, when he got Glenn Greenwald for that $1 million a year, $2 million a year, he also got the ownership of those documents. So to this date, for example, none of this information included in Edward Snowden documents had been released. Well, how can it be released? Because the guy who's involved, who owns Edward Snowden's documents, who owns Glenn Greenwald, well, he owns the documents. So this is when things get more complicated, because people like to look at things as black and white. And I know we endured a lot of attacks, James, when we started saying, don't right away accept, you know, whatever is the story given to you. And we know that there is this huge desire for having heroes. And I think it's about time for us to have another one. Usually we get heroes popping up every 4 or 5 years. So this is around the time that we're going to have a new hero. Edward Snowden as hero is going to be retired, and they're going to bring another hero. But look at the facts on the ground. Look at it carefully and don't jump into conclusion. But now with this fake news issue and with your article, again, this comes to be topical, because here is the guy, Glenn Greenwald's owner, Edward Snowden's owner, the documents owner, Pierre Omidyar, billionaire, who also is in the propaganda business in Ukraine, and also he is involved with what you put here as linking to all this fake news phenomena. James?
Yes, and I will refer people back to our expose on the Omidyar-Greenwald-Snowden connection, and that was Secrets for Sale, the Greenwald-Omidyar-NSA connection from a couple of years ago, where we talked about that. We talked about the PayPal's prosecution of the PayPal 14 that were staging the cyber sit-in against the WikiLeaks delisting. We talked about the PayPal co-founder, along with Omidyar, Max Levchin, being on the record with Bilderberger Charlie Rose, supporting NSA surveillance. We had Sal Gambianco, one of the principal investment partners in the Omidyar network, who happens to also sit on the board of Globant, which is a software company in which both the Omidyar network and Booz Allen Hamilton are major shareholders. Booz Allen Hamilton, of course, being Snowden's former employer. And Philip Odine, one of the Booz Allen Hamilton board members, also sits on the board of directors of Globant. And the Omidyar Network and Booz Allen Hamilton are major investors in Innocentive. The connections are numerous, too numerous to ignore. So that is all absolutely documented there, and very worrying. But let me push back again. Credit where credit's due. Greenwald wrote an excellent piece about how absolutely putridly disgusting the Washington Post piece is, and the neo-McCarthyite era that it signals. And it's a good article. What do you make of that?
Well, Washington Post also exposed some of the CIA rendition program. So this is when people, they talk about this phrase, I mean, a lot of people don't understand the meaning of it. The limited hangout is, in order to gain legitimacy, you have to put some of those good stuff. I mean, we talk about NPR. NPR is actually an extension of Israel lobby, okay? And it's backed and sponsored by all these lobby groups and foundations. This program was brought to you by Heritage Foundation, right? Well, I get people and say, oh my God, but NPR did this fantastic expose on this, or they featured these artists and it gave them the platform. It's, the answer is, so what? Imagine if they only put crap and shit. Well, everybody's going to turn off, right? But if you go and in the window, let's say you have this store that sells lots of shit, okay? Excuse my language. You can beep me there when you're editing this stuff, Spiro. But let's say, but most of the stuff are in the shelf, but in the window where the mannequins are standing, okay, you put actual genuine stuff. You know, you put Gianfranco Ferré and Hugo Boss. So you pass by the window of this boutique and you're like, wow, look at that. But then you go there and you're looking through the shelf and you see crap. Same thing with a lot of these organizations that pose as alternative. It's always you see a mixture of good and bad.
Well, I agree completely with what you're saying as an overall principle, for sure. But just the fact that we're bringing in PolitiFact, Omidyar by way of PolitiFact as a related website listed in the related website section of this Proper Not website, which we already know there's at least one organization that specifically disavows having anything to do with them, and we don't know if PolitiFact has anything to do with them. And the fact that if Omidyar was, so if we're saying Omidyar is kind of one of the people that's controlling this narrative and trying to pump out this these Russian propaganda websites, but having his main employee being the one who's writing the most vociferous and best that I've seen so far critique of this same campaign, it just seems a bit, that seems contradictory to me.
Right. But regardless, if you go and look at the news organization, alternative news organization listed there, one of the things you brought up had to do with the fact that they are all independent. And I have to say, when I looked at it, I found several that they are not independent. And they are not known to be independent.
Right. Sorry, I meant independent in the sense of...
Separate. Oh, yeah. Okay. They're independent from each other.
Yeah.
But that brings up another good point, and that is one of the things that we talked about. We talked point to some problems, and we say, here are the solutions, here are the things we can do. In this particular case, when we see that the time has come, okay, the witch hunt has begun, the war against truth tellers, alternative media has actually started, okay? So the drums we are hearing, and we know that they are coming. And looking at the dependency we have here, as organizations, alternative organizations, your dependency on YouTube, okay, and granted, you have DVDs that you provide, and that's one of the features that we are going to have at NewsBud. Our dependency through Twitter to let people know and give them the shout out saying, hey, we have this new great expose, come and watch it. And how easy it is, how very easy it is for the establishment to, in a second, in a matter of second, to unplug us and basically cut off our contact with the viewers. And what can be done? Especially seeing that some of these organizations, some of these alternative media outlets banding together, coming together, I think we need to go further. And what would be, and the question is to both of you and to all of us here, various things that we can do, because we don't want to wait for it to happen, because, hey, that is too late. You know, they have already shut down your YouTube, your website ISP, they control the internet, is gone, and you don't have access to your email and Facebook and Twitter, okay? And they can do this. And what kind of things can we do, both independently, but also there may be things and the steps that we can take that may involve at least group of, small group or a larger group of those of us who have been in this arena of alternative media. And I would like to hear about some of those solutions and you as well, Spiro.
May I go first? Okay. All right. Well, that's an excellent and extremely important point, and obviously one that's becoming more important. And I've put some thought into this, and I think the first order of a level of answer to what you're saying there is, as you said, DVDs, books, physical copies of information is going to be more and more important. Anything that you don't physically possess, you don't really possess. So if it's in the cloud in some manner, it can and will be censored at some point, presumably. So make sure you back up everything. If anyone watching this sees an important video or reads an important article, save it. Physically save it to your hard drive. Burn it to a disk. Make sure you actually physically have it. That's one way to at least help to counteract the potential censorship that's coming. But in terms of how to distribute information going forward, new information, you're exactly right. Relying on these obviously controlled platforms like YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and what have you is ultimately a fool's errand. I mean, for the time being, we're there because that's where the majority of people are. But certainly the clampdown is coming and has already started to a certain extent. So looking for alternative platforms is, again, always, and I don't think that's ever something that's going to stop. I think we'll have to continue developing new platforms and migrating as need be. And remember, this isn't a quixotic thing because it does happen. Just think 10 years ago, MySpace and Dig were the biggest, you know, platforms for getting the word out about things, and who the hell even knows what they are anymore. So it can happen that changes occur. Right now, I just recently signed up to Minds.com, an alternative social media network. I've signed up to Steemit. I applied for a Gab.ai account, but I haven't heard back from them yet, so I'm not sure what's going on there. And I'm looking at other platforms as well. And then going forward, I think, of course, I mean, always for me, and I'm presuming for NewsBud as well, but for me, if people ever want my work, please go to CorbettReport.com. That's where you can get the videos that I host myself. So you don't need YouTube. You can actually download them from me directly. But there's always the question, there's a dual vulnerability there. One is if they actually come and physically get the servers or something. So you have to have server security of some sort. But secondly, also, .com is a U.S. Top-level domain, and that's under the purview of the U.S. government, and we've seen ICE and DHS seizing domain names before because it's an illegal gambling site, so we can seize that .com. Well, it doesn't take much of a flip of a switch to go, it's an illegal propaganda website, so let's seize that .com. And suddenly people put CorbettReport.com or NewsBud.com or whatever into their search engine or into their browser, and it doesn't load. You just get a screen saying, DHS has shut down this website. So, of course, how do we counteract that? And really, I mean, the real solution to that, I mean, of course, you could have .net and .org and whatever, but all of those are subject to the same potential types of censorship. The real solution to that is actually .bit, which is a not an ICANN administered domain name. It is a decentralized one that runs on the Namecoin blockchain. So it is a decentralized ledger. You don't need ICANN to do it for you. You do need a little bit of technical savvy to set it up and get it working, but it is not censorable. It's as long as the internet's there, it will be there. So that's the next level of this. And I'm obviously working on CorbettReport.bit, and I would suggest NewsBud and other websites do the same.
I'd have to say the primary thing we do at this point before they decide to shut everything down, if they do that, would be journalistic integrity. I mean, this whole Pizzagate thing gave them an opportunity to lampoon us and criticize us and use that as a blanket reason to, you know, say fake news is a threat to, you know, journalism in America. The second thing is I think the PR aspect of them violating the First Amendment is not going to float. I think what they're going to do is they're going to try to start a information war, so to speak, and they'll dig around and try to find outrageous things like Pizzagate to discredit us. So what we need to do is make sure we check all our facts, make sure that they can't do that. That's the primary thing that we need to do, I think.
Well, in my opinion, the information war is obviously underway. The propaganda wars are in full swing. And whether this fake news thing was launched or hatched as a psyop, or if it was utilized and capitalized, became one, regardless, it appears to me that they're setting the stage. They're pushing this narrative very hard. And not only is it distracting from so many other things, but it's setting the tone. I mean, if you look at the timing that all of this took place, obviously the election, which they're blaming fake news for influencing the election, then you have this legislation that was coming through in Parliament first in the EU, you know, in Europe, and then all of a sudden, bam, here in the U.S. I mean, it appears that they're setting the stage, and I had seen a poll earlier saying that nearly 50% of Americans think that the government should take action against fake news, and you have, you know, the president speaking out about it, and Clinton, and all these different organizations, and the timing with the release of this fake news list and everything also kind of coincided with YouTube and Facebook and Twitter all announcing that they were going to take the necessary steps to censor platforms, to censor fake news and Russian propaganda. And now they're going to be teaming up against terrorist propaganda. And it's just going to continue to chip away and erode at our rights, our civil liberties, our freedoms. And I think ultimately one of the major dangers that this poses is causing self-censorship. People are going to be afraid of the establishment, being afraid. I mean, we've seen this before. They'll send the IRS after you or whoever. And so people are going to kind of start to quiet down a little bit and not pose the resistance.
Such a good point there. Thank you for making that point. Because again, self-censorship really is the most effective form of censorship. And if they get us to do that, they win, period. And on that note, Kurt, you're exactly right. Of course, we have to be the truthful media because we are. That is the alternative to the lying media. That is the point. And that's why we're here and doing what we do. But at the same time, I don't think we should give in to the fact that, oh, they declare, okay, so some crazy person goes into a place and shoots it up and then therefore they blame everyone who researches that topic. Well, that could be any topic. And Pizzagate, I think there is truthful, real information that has been dug up through those emails. And there's been other craziness that I think doesn't warrant. It's just silly conjecture. Oh, Huma Abedin's mother works in a building that has a pizza shop. I knew it. You know, I mean, that kind of nonsense. But there is useful information in there as well. And if they can just take any sort of thing and give it a name and say anyone who researches this is crazy, and then, you know, some guy goes and shoots someone up or something and you blame every single person looking into that. I mean, that is an operation that could be used against anything, including the truth. If some 9/11 truther goes in and shoots someone, then everyone who's ever talked about 9/11 truth is bad by comparison. They could do that to anything. So we have to absolutely resist that type of framing of, again, we have to declare independence. I am an independent person who has said this and this and this. And just because someone goes into some building somewhere and does something crazy, that has no reflection on who I am or what I say or what I'm doing. And I think we have to disavow those types of connections when they try to make them. And I think most reasonable people will understand that distinction when it's presented to them, which is, of course, why it's never presented to them in the mainstream media. So, Spiro, you're exactly right. Stop the self-censorship. Continue to explore research and talk about that research. That's the most important part of all of this.
Well, I think that's going to pretty much wrap up this edition of NewsBuds Roundtable. I'd like to get any final points.
I think to a large degree this is going to blow over. They can't continue the momentum on this fake news thing. It's just, it's too big to for them to pull off on us. You look at that Pew Research survey, a lot of those people, and this is an interesting point, you hear what they say, is they want the government to step in. Well, that's not going to happen, obviously, because I don't think that's going to happen because, once again, it's, you know, the First Amendment argument, the civil liberty argument, I don't think they'll be able to do it. I think there's just this ongoing info war with, you know, back and forth, you know, this is fake and, you know, it'd be interesting to see where it goes. The Washington Post has already taken plenty of heat for this ludicrous article that they posted. But then again, as you pointed out earlier, Operation Mockingbird, you know, the Washington Post has been implicated in all kinds of business dealing with Frank Wisner at the CIA. So that's central to the argument is the fact that they keep pushing this through their media channels.
I would like to have another roundtable soon because from what I have gathered, you know, this is very, very interesting, and we'll go through this prediction because that's a fun thing to do, especially if it's educated prediction. And that is, with Trump's election, we're going to see funding going back to anti-war movements, which stopped. It was very, very interesting. The media activities really came to a halt. I'm not talking about independent alternative true alternatives, but I'm talking about, for example, New Yorker. New Yorker gave Seymour Hersh 8 years of vacation, basically, and said, you know, during Obama administration, we don't want exposés. We don't want you to expose all the stuff with wars, etc. So it's going to be interesting to see how that is going to shift because the fundings, for example, George Soros, during Bush administration, he poured hundreds of millions of dollars. We actually had big rallies, anti-war rallies. One was in 2002, 2003 against the Iraq war. And how interestingly, despite having increased number of wars, for 8 years, there was nothing, really. We didn't see any anti-war rallies. And New Yorker gave 8 years vacation to Pulitzer Prize winner Seymour Hersh. So I'm saying it as a positive thing, even though the objective, the purpose behind it is nefarious with the agenda groups such as George Soros. But this is going to be also interesting to watch both mainstream media and pseudo alternative media. You're going to see some sparks. Suddenly war is going to get more attention. Torture is going to become, even though it has been continuing. And hopefully this will be a good chance for people who have been around since Bush administration and gone through Obama administration to really reflect and say, and ask themselves what has given, you know, what has changed. We had all those wars, no rallies, no exposés, New Yorker. What is happening here? Is it really about wars? Is it really about injustice around that we are inflicting? Or is this divide and conquer thing that they have had and they've been playing us for their own game, and think of it as a chess game, and then watch for the media and see how the tune is going to change. It's coming, starting from the end of January, State of the Union address, the new president, Republican, and now we are going to see major movements popping up. They're going to come out of their hibernation, and within this, please pay attention. Try to figure out who is pseudo-alternative, who is really alternative, who is dependent, who is not dependent. And with that, I'm done as well, Spiro.
Well, I think that this... Oh, Kurt?
Can I have one last point? I think a stumbling block is the CIA yesterday would refuse to release the information about fake news in Russia and undermining the election. A representative, King, in New York took him to task on that. So I think that without definitive information, they're going to have a hard time pushing this fake news thing.
Well, that's an excellent point. And even the FBI came out and said that they couldn't corroborate what the CIA was saying. So it's very interesting to see the clashing of the different agencies and the different narratives that are at play here. But I think regardless, at the end of the day, this just exemplifies the importance of alternative media and how we are a threat to the establishment. So again, make sure you support alternative media. Obviously, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, Kurt Nimmo with Another Day in the Empire, and NewsBud.com. So be sure to support your independent media, and don't ever stop the resistance. Reporting for NewsBud, I'm Spiro.
If you found this video useful, share it. NewsBud presentations are only made possible by our viewers. Subscribe to NewsBud.com today to become part of the NewsBud community, where soon you will find exclusive content only available to our subscribers.